This is Jim Taylor on WRMJ Radio in Alito. He's Brian Roush at WCCI Radio in Savannah. This is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio. We're going to do a summer edition, folks, because we have something to talk about. We're kind of getting back to normal. We're going to talk a little bit about the state tournament decision. But I think, Brian, we'll begin our conversation with high school football because, you know, we look at the calendar, we're just a couple of months away, hopefully, from the, actually less than 2 months away from the first official day of high school football practice, and hopefully that happens. I know still a lot of things within the state that they have to be finalized. But what about this situation involving the Northwest Upstate Illini Conference? I see effective 2021, you're now going to have 7 8-man football teams up that way. That means 9 teams will play 11-man football in the NUIC. So that means they're going to probably want a 10th team. And we see media reports indicate that they've reached out to Fulton. And that means if Fulton would leave the Three Rivers Athletic Conference, we're talking about conference affiliation issues again. To me, Brian Roush, that's good news. We're getting back to normal because of that, right?
Yeah, I agree. I think once we can step away from when and if we resume these sports or when we start the sports and talk about conference alignment, we're back to normalcy at least a little bit. And you talk about the 8-man situation. It was basically what we kind of thought might happen up here was when River Ridge and Polo kind of stepped out and both had success. A lot of the teams that struggle with enrollment and had low numbers and not a great projection ahead for numbers kind of stepped into the debate and said, hey, do we co-op or do we go 8-man? And as you kind of alluded to, you've got a number of teams that recently have agreed. Now, some of these, it's been a couple of months since they made that decision. Others, like Aquin out of Freeport, just made that decision. So now you've got Orangeville, Milledgeville, Aquin, Amboy, and AFC all headed to 8-man football in 2021.
Yeah, that's interesting because you're looking at, you know, some of those programs not too long ago had success, you know, in the 11-man arena. And I know Orangeville is going to hold out for one more year because I think they got a chance to make a deep run again in 11-man. They have a lot of kids back. I know Polo had success at 11-man football. Of course, they're having success at 8-man football. Freeport-Aquin, they've been down to state playing for a state title in 11-man football. And I know it's just, you know, as recent as 2012, Amboy had Mercer County on the ropes in the playoffs, I believe in the quarterfinals, or no, maybe the second round it was, and that was the year Mercer County won the state title. So the 11-man teams that will remain: Dakota, Dupec, East Dubuque, EPC, Forreston, Galena, Leawin, Stockton, West Carroll, and again, that's 9 teams, but you would think a proud tradition like the Northwest Upstate Illini Conference, they're going to get that 10th team. And we see that that's an item on the Fulton School Board agenda Monday night. What about that?
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting situation because obviously you want the 10th team. You can have a closed conference and play 9 conference games, and you look at that lineup, and I know your listeners may not be quite as familiar with those schools as our listeners are, but I mean, there are some very good football traditions there. You add the Fulton Steamers in, and I mean, you're talking about a powerhouse conference. I would have thought that Fulton or Morrison would have been the two logical choices to reach out to. Then you look at the domino effect, and that's where it's going to impact this area and yours when this happens, if it does happen, if Fulton decides to come this direction. Tell me what happens down your way. How does that change things?
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of talk about the potential of maybe even some other Three Rivers schools, and I'm not going to name them, but are looking at other conference situations. And I think you mentioned Morrison. I think that they, you know, in past have maybe reached out to the NUIC. But I guess I ask you, and maybe we can discuss this a little more, but when I look at the 11-man teams in the Northwest Upstate Illini Conference, and you probably have a better read on this than I do. So Dakota, DuPec, East Dubuque, EPC, Forreston, Galena, Lee Wynn, Stockton, West Carroll. Are they in the long haul for 11-man football, you think, or is there going to be a situation where one of those schools or a couple of those schools is going to be flirting with 8-man football down the road? What do you think about that?
You know, personally, I feel like the majority of those schools are pretty safe with a long-term outlook in 11-man. Now, there are a few that might have some, you know, ups and downs with numbers, and some of the bigger schools might struggle with that. But I think you've seen that issue solved with DuPec, you know, having the co-op. You've got some of those other schools that have been traditional 1A powers that I think the numbers are going to be pretty good. But, you know, that's not to say that maybe 1 or 2 years might be lean for some of those teams as far as you know, participants go.
And then as far as the track, and again, you know, we're just speculating now in terms of what is going to happen with, you know, we're just talking about, it's just an item on the Fulton School Board agenda right now. But if they would leave the track, I mean, the issue for the track, like all conferences, is football. And, when you talk about the uneven number, and then you have the issue of dividing up the, you know, for football, it's basically, they call it the Rock and Mississippi division, but it's a big school, small school division. And, you know, Fulton, of course, is on the small school side. And the issue, Brian, that I hear, you know, kind of under the surface, is the issue with crossover games. There are the smaller enrollment schools in the track that are at the bottom end of enrollment. They worry about that crossover on the bigger side of who they're going to have to play, and they don't like that. And so the issue for me here in this, if this would happen, you have one of the smallest schools right in the track leaving. So that means there's a better chance for the other small schools that remain are going to have to play bigger schools, and they ain't going to like that. And that is the issue. And then, well, are they going to look for a replacement? And then what type of enrollment do you look at replacement-wise? Now, this is me speaking. You know, I think, in my opinion, if Fulton would leave, I think, you know, a school that the track would logically probably reach out to, in my opinion, is Mercer County. And I think that probably would be a good fit. They're an enrollment of 400, and they've had the relationships with the Rock Ridges, Orions, Sherrards, and Monmouth Rosevilles, and the Rock Ridges of the world. Now, if that would happen, I don't know what the outcome would be, but I would think that would be one of the distinct possibilities. But then you talk about, you know, some of the other schools in the track. Are they looking at potential other conference situations? I've heard a few are, not publicly. But so again, long story short, and I've told all the IHSA administrators, you know, because we haven't done anything since mid-March, I said to them, I said, won't it be nice when we can get involved in these dumb, you know, conversations about conference affiliation? And I guess we can do that again now, right?
Yeah, we sure can. And I just wanted to get back to 8-man for 1 second. When you look at that alignment up here, I'm not sure if you're going to be able to have like an 8-man, you know, conference in the NUIC. Now, those teams will still be in for other sports and basically, you know, be de facto members of the conference. But I just look at, like, you know, the ability to play games within a reasonable distance as opposed to the last, you know, year or so where you had a situation where you had, you know, teams, you know, traveling from Danville to come up here, or teams from this area going to the Edwardsville area or to the lower portion of the Chicagoland area. And it's, you know, looking at bringing back some of those rivalries. I mean, Milledgeville Polo, they're going to be able to play on just in an 8-man situation. I think if you go to one of those two football fields and watch that matchup, you're not going to know there's only 8 guys out there on each side of the football.
Well, and you bring up an interesting point about that, because you know, when you talk about conferences for eight-man, you know, it's the association that is scheduling the eight-man football schedules, the Illinois Eight-Man Football Association. But it is interesting, if you get 10 teams up there, I would assume that conference is going to say, we don't want you scheduling these eight-man games because we have our own conference. We don't need the Illinois Eight-Man Football Association to schedule for us. So that's going to be an interesting issue if you get to 10 up that way and you just say, we're going to play, these eight-man teams are just going to play among the area schools up in this area. And I assume when you look at the growth of eight-man, maybe the association is going to say, well, no, you can't do it that way yet because we have to make this schedule work statewide. And that's going to be a story worth following down the road as well. So let's transition quickly to state basketball. Of course, that was the big story announced earlier this week. And I know Illinois, the university, had put the full court press on their AD, Josh Whitman, and I think their chancellor. And the university was really behind getting it back. And the basketball staff, Coach Underwood, who I know was involved as well. So I don't think it was a big surprise that they got the boys' tournament back. But, you know, and hopefully there's a basketball season. And, you know, hopefully fans, I mean, I think it's still a question whether fans are going to be able to attend events by then, you know, in mass quantity. So I think we'll have to follow that story. But long story short, I hope it has an impact, and I hope fans return to the state basketball tournament and you see bigger crowds. I don't know, though. I still think the way the setup is, with playing the four classes on the same weekend and how it's divided up, I just still don't think all the basketball fans are going to stay down there for every game, if you know what I mean. I just don't think that's going to happen. I still think you'll get a little bump this year if fans can go, but I don't know if it's going to be that huge of an impact, because I just think there's more than the venue in play here that has impacted the attendance of state basketball. I just think there's so many other factors. So what about that?
Yeah, I think you're kind of correct, and I would be interested to see how those numbers kind of do increase, if they do. And I just wanted to, you know, step back and say, you called this a while back, and I know you've got some connections and both with the University of Illinois and with the IHSA, and you could kind of get a pulse on what was happening. The other thing, too, is the State Farm Center is so amazing now with all the renovation that they've put into it. And I found it kind of interesting because I always thought the ace in the hole for Peoria was having the arena next to the area where you could have the March Madness exhibit. And I guess what I was kind of reading, and maybe I misread this a little bit, but I read into it where they kind of said maybe they've grown past that and there's other ways to entertain and inform the crowd, and that hands-on, you know, exhibit area was not the ace in the hole that it once was for Peoria. So I found that kind of interesting.
Yeah, and I would agree that I think that kind of lost its luster over the year. I like the Peoria experience, and they had a good 25-year run with the state tournament. And I just think the factors in play, you know, that we deal with now in basketball is, you know, with the declining enrollment of Chicago schools, you know, you see those Chicago public schools that are spread out really now among the four classes. And if they bring one or two or three teams or whatever, they just don't bring a lot of fans. And then you're relying on the average basketball fan to show up. And again, I say still today that, you know, when we talked about the state tournament in the 70s and even the 80s when you had the big crowds, is you didn't have still the conference college basketball tournaments that have become such a huge thing, and then the NCAA tournament has become such a huge thing, the first round and second round games that have impacted that. And then I was talking to Larry Schulte about this, the former Allman coach, and he had his teams play at both Peoria and in Assembly Hall in back-to-back years. And you know, the young basketball fan, where I think when we grew up in the 70s and 80s, you know, they'd go to, you'd see young basketball fans at the state tournament. Well, you don't, you don't anymore, and the reason you don't is because youth basketball is so big. The kids are playing on those weekends, so they can't go to the state tournament. And then I still say the other big issue is the overlap of the seasons, where you have the spring sports already underway. So again, we talk about multi-sport athletes. If your basketball season is over, you know, back in the day, you'd still probably go to the state tournament, right? But now you can't because you're playing baseball. Baseball practice is underway, or track practice is underway, and you just can't go. And it's factors like that that impact attendance of the games, in my opinion. And that the venue doesn't correct that, in my opinion, if you see what I mean. Now, I still think you'll get some more average basketball fans going here in the first year, second year of Champaign, but how that translates long term, I don't know.
Yeah, I think those are all very good points and something we'll have to kind of look at down the line. I think the one thing for sure that they got right, and I'm not disagreeing with the move back to Champaign. I think with the efforts of the U of I and with the renovated State Farm Center and just the fact that it is, kind of the trademark university in Illinois, I think that's great. I am so glad that Redbird will continue to host the girls' tournament. I love that facility. I think ISU does a tremendous job in hosting it. Now, we've had the luxury of going the last 3 years, this past year covering the Class 1A state champs, but it's been just a marvelous facility. They've upgraded it, and I'm glad, taking nothing away from Peoria on either side, I'm glad that it's staying there at Normal for the girls' tournament.
Yeah, and I guess the only thing I'll say as we wrap up, I was really hoping that they were going to bid on the boys' tournament as well, but maybe they just didn't want that. And then I guess the other caveat in all this that I found interesting was, Peoria bid on both the boys and girls, and I thought, well, maybe that's how they keep it, is they get both the boys and girls state tournament in back-to-back weekends. And honestly, I would have liked to have watched, maybe Peoria get it, and I know the way the contract works, the contract was up, but, they didn't get to experience having the four class, the entire state tournament on one weekend like Champaign's going to get it now. So that's something they didn't get the benefit of, and we'll have to see how, again, that impacts just basically state tournament basketball in general with having all four classes on the same weekend. All right, so we have a summer edition here, and of course still a lot of factors in play on what high school sports will look like, when and if they return in August, and hopefully they do, and Brian, you and I can get back together on a regular basis, right? So have a good summer.
Yeah, you too. I'm glad we were able to get together. We had so much to talk about. Now, we've only done a couple of shows this spring, obviously, but I just felt like these were very important topics to get together and share with our listeners. So really, I'm glad it kind of worked out schedule-wise.
All right. He's Brian Ruscha, WCCI Radio in Savannah. I'm Jim Taylor at WRMJ Radio in Aledo. This is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio.